Welcome to Journey with Psyche. Welcome to Journals of a Healer. Mary Blake inviting you to explore your open and your past. Your good afternoon. Let's begin again, and we're going to. I'm looking for some of my hidden genius right now. But we are, today we're open for questions, and I'm looking forward to talking with some of you who might have read Journals of a Healer, and I'd love to talk with you. Okay, as some of you might know, Journals of a Healer is my personal account of some amazing events that happened to me when spirit kind of pushed me over the edge, and when a medical student went into another lifetime in my healing class, and that was just only the beginning. And once I survived that, I was thought I was perfectly fine, but eventually when it kept happening over and over, it turned into what I now call multi-life therapy. We take people into other lifetimes where they communicate directly with their other incarnations. And with spirit help, we actually rewrite history and erase the karma that is interfering with your life in this lifetime. And that is about where we are, and I'm hoping that that some of you will call in and be interested. In the meantime, I can tell you some wonderful things happened with many of my clients who found that they were literally eliminating problems that they had most of their life, which actually originated in another lifetime. So here we are, and perhaps you'd be interested in hearing about some of the experiences that other people had. For example, one gentleman who was he was a psychologist, and he worked for the New York Board of Mental Health, and he went into a lifetime where he was in an Aztec or Olmec world, wherever, and he was about to be sacrificed and to the gods, and fortunately spirit stepped in and guided him into such a way that he was no longer a desirable subject. It turned out that you had to be perfect in order to be sacrificed, and he was taken in. He was told to go out into the courtyard and take a sharp stone and cut his arm. And as a young child, it took a lot of trust for him to do that. But he was going to get killed anyway, so I guess it didn't really matter to him. But anyway, what happened was when he was told to run to the priest and cry and tell him, you know, what had happened. Then the priest was horrified and said, "This is terrible. Now you can't be sacrificed. You're not perfect anymore." So it literally saved his life, and they sent for his parents, who took him home, and he was totally contented. And he did a lot of good work, and a lot of it in his lifetime that he would never have been done had he been sacrificed on the altar. So that's just one example of things that can happen. But what literally happened in his life afterwards was that he, who was originally so shy and refused to step out, refused even to answer a question in class, none of this that he had ever done anything, and he seemed to dress himself and act in such a way as not to be noticed. And it literally changed his life because he realized that because of that other lifetime, he almost lost his, he had in that lifetime lost his life because he was a standout and he was special and he was very smart and very, very handsome and very, very noticeable. So in this lifetime, from the time he was practically from the time he was born, he bent over backwards not to be noticed and not to be special and not to be in any way so perfect and unique that he might lose his life again. So that was underneath, and he had no idea it was there, but once it was revealed and literally the consciousness was changed, then it was okay for him to be special. It was okay for him to be smart. It was okay for him to be noticed and to be rewarded for all of the things that he was capable of doing. So it completely changed his life. And it looks like I have a listener here. Let me see if we have a question. Hello? Hello?
Hi, Mary. Hello?
Yes. Hi there.
Hi, Mary.
Yes. Who am I speaking with?
This is Candy. I'm calling from California.
Aha. Did you have a question?
Well, yes, I'm curious because somebody had mentioned to me just a while back that my breathing problems are caused by things that happened to me in my past. Because I have a lot of respiratory problems, and when I go to the doctor, they don't really think they're as bad as I feel like they are sometimes.
I see.
I have asthma and, I called the ambulance once, and they came, and they listened to my chest, and they said, "You're not having an asthma attack." But I just couldn't breathe, They said it was anxiety. But I felt like it was asthma. And by you telling me that changed his personality and his fear.
Oh, yeah, tremendously.
I wonder when that person said that to me, if there was some, substance to what her statement was. Now listening to you.
It's very, very possible that you could have been, oh my goodness, you could even have been buried alive, or you could have been choked, or you could have died of smoke inhalation, or any number of things in another lifetime.
Because I noticed if I have keep my air conditioning on and close all my windows and my patio door, I become claustrophobic. I can't go to sleep because there's no air coming in the room, even though the air conditioning is up there on the staff. So could that possibly be changed if I went back?
Oh, absolutely. And we don't call it back. We call it over. You can go over into another lifetime. Because Candy, one of the amazing things that I have learned in doing this work is that everything happens sort of at the same time. There really isn't time as we understand it. There are things that happen, and the consciousness is affected by these things that happen to us. So, yes, something that happened to you, say, in the 15th century could be affecting you right now, and you don't even know it, because it's kind of like, you know, when you throw a stone into a pond, it ripples the water, and you see it, and it goes on for a little while, and then the stone sinks and the water becomes calm. But when you're walking across that pond, you are going to stub your toe on that rock.
Mhm.
So see what I mean?
And then it'll come back. You know, like the ripple will come back.
You will feel the pain of it. Even though
the pain
and you won't even know where it's coming from.
Yeah, I certainly don't know where this is. This is coming from. And I'm going to be 60 in like all these years. I never even would have been able to adjust my mind to that.
Sure.
You know?
Well, you know, for example, from my own lifetime, I couldn't tolerate heat. I grew up in a place that was very hot in the summer. It would be up to 110, 115, and this was actual on the on the thermometer, with like about 90% humidity, because we were in a valley between the Mississippi and the Ohio rivers. So I could never go outside and play in the summer. The only time I got to play outside was when it was raining. And my mother described my whole childhood. It was lying on sprawled across the bed reading a book. So I never got to go out and play in the summer. And then the other thing was I couldn't stand. This is all in the book I tell about in Journals of a Healer. And I couldn't stand to be near a snake, and I could smell them. Like from two blocks away, practically, I could smell a snake, you know? And when I went into another lifetime back in 1980, I learned that I had been a medic in the Mexican American War back in 1848, you know, and I had two buddies, and the three of us decided after the war we're going to take a shortcut home.
Yes.
And we got stuck, and we got lost. Stuck, and I died in the desert. But the thing that was interesting, I was dying of the heat, but the thing that really killed me was a rattlesnake. It crawled. I was lying in the sand, and on my side with my knee drawn up, the snake just crawled right up my knee, and bit me right in my thigh. And I died instantly. So there was heat and snakes right there.
Wow.
And so what happened afterwards, I began to understand, and I would pick things in my lifetime and say, oh my gosh, here was this little kid brought this little teeny green garter snake, you know, and stuck it in my face, and I almost had a heart attack, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And how I would be retching like crazy through dry heaves when my kids wanted to go to the reptile house. They had to go by themselves because I was leaning at the on the side of a building, practically throwing up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing that had happened was I was in the movie with the Clint Eastwood movie, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and he had been trapped in the desert, and he came out, and he was all sunburnt and everything, and I started getting deathly sick and dizzy, and I had to get up and run out of the theater. I couldn't even stay and watch the film.
Oh,
so,
well, I could I could share something with you about that. When I can't watch anything that has to do with, like, if there's scuba diving, I could watch that. But if there's somebody, like, overboard and they're drowning,
yeah,
I can't
okay.
watch it.
There you go.
I actually feel like the water's on my chest, and I have to change the channel or walk out of the movie. Yes, I hear that.
What about submarines?
Oh, to watch them? No. No, not a big fan of watching anything going on the water.
I just got a very strong hitch that you might have died in a submarine. That was blown up or something, and the water came in on you. Could have been, or you could have died of asphyxiation.
Well, the water coming in on me. Wait. That brings, of course, a very interesting point. Because when I was a child, my mother always made me take baths. And to be honest with you, until I was a teenager, you know, I didn't really take a shower until once at my aunt's house in Long Island, where we used to go for the summertime. I got in the downstairs bathroom, which only had the shower. And I said, I'm going to take a shower like other people do. And do you know when that water started hitting my face? I had an asthma attack.
There you go. So this probably is exactly it. So what happened with me was once I understood it and I worked it through and I meditated a whole lot, I understood that all of my reactions that didn't make any sense before where it came from that lifetime. And the next summer was the very first time in my whole life that I didn't collapse from heat prostration or sunstroke or something like that. And also I was no longer afraid of snakes. I no longer got deathly sick and throwing up from snakes. So going into this, my own experience, I mean, this changed my body chemistry. Does this make sense to you?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
You couldn't deal with the sun, and then, you couldn't even go out, and of course it had to change your chemistry.
And the last thing in the world I wanted to do was go to the beach.
I love to be on the beach. I have to have my chair, I had the towel, but don't let me walk near the water. I would just put my feet in the water, but I was scared of the water. And my father would try to teach me how to swim, and I just never grasped it. I always went into panic mode.
Well, can you see that there's a possibility that you might have died either with a submarine running completely out of air, or the water coming in, and it could have been a boat. You know, it could easily have been. But the fact that you can't watch submarines in the movie is a clue. See, these are all clues
that we
follow through.
It most likely was a submarine because back east when I lived in New York, I used to go out on people's boats. They used to put a life jacket on me. But I would go on a boat. I had no problems going on boats. But, I told you I can't watch submarine movies. Oh, that's so interesting.
It
changed my life right now.
Okay. So what happens
is that...
Oh, you're welcome. See, just as we bring forward unremembered traumas from our childhood, we also bring forward unremembered and unresolved conflicts from other lifetimes. So they're sitting like that rock at the bottom of the pond. That when you happen to go near that rock, you stub your toe on it and it hurts. So when you completely avoid that part of the pond, you don't notice it. But when you come across some event that is similar, to what caught what the you know the conditions that were present at the time of this disaster that you had gone through, then mm-hmm. you will experience things like you felt then, and they don't make any sense until
right.
until you see it in the proper perspective. It's like being what do you call with the astigmatism, and you can't see things clearly until you put your glasses on. Then boom, now you see them.
Uh huh. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
So once, yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Once you realize the cause and effect, and in our multi-life therapy, we go into another lifetime, and we go into altered state, and then we travel. We ask our whole self, our God self, to choose a place for us to go,
mm-hmm.
where something happened to us that is upsetting us in this lifetime. And so when we find out where we are and what went wrong, then Spirit comes in and literally takes us backwards in time, in that lifetime, before the bad thing happened, and suggest
okay.
a different thing. For example, if you were a guy who was entering the military of some kind, Spirit
yeah.
might suggest instead of joining the submarines, why don't you try some other side of the Navy, or maybe why don't you volunteer for some kind of communications where we would be on land, and you would be receiving communications and be valuable to the war effort that way. So
mm-hmm.
then you would completely avoid that death under the water in that confined space that you could not get out of.
Mm. Wow.
With the water coming at you.
Yeah.
Can you feel the difference?
Oh, I just feel like I just was reborn in a way. I just feel so different right now. That,
uh-huh.
Because it always gave me, you know, why am I like this? And I still to this day, I always have to be careful the way the shower hits me in my face. You know,
yeah.
Usually, you know, I'll turn around.
I understand perfectly. So this is the way the multi-life therapy works, and that's how it changes people's lives. It changes it by completely eliminating, replacing positive memories with the negative ones in the consciousness. And as my spirit guide Stardust always says, nothing that ever happened to anyone, anytime, any place is important. The only thing that is important is how those events, how those feelings, your feelings about those events and your reactions
uh-huh.
to them affect your consciousness. And the consciousness
mm-hmm.
is immortal. That is the part of us that's
mm-hmm.
that's immortal. So when
right.
we change the consciousness, we change your relationship to that, because then we have completely erased it.
Mm.
Now, this is not going to change newspaper headings. This is not going to change, the headstones and the graves or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
It only changes this consciousness, which is really the most important part of us.
Yes. Well, I thank you for such an awakening morning and uplifting and insightful. You have changed my life just now. Thank you, Mary.
Well, this is true that this work that we do does change lives. And I have seen people change amazingly and always for the better, you know.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
So we do this work, and it's basically, you understand that the only true healing is self-healing.
Yes.
So we are dealing with you. It's between you and you. Between you, Candy, and the part of you that went through this terrible death, that caused you to be claustrophobic and terrified of water hitting you in the face.
Well, now I could change things because I'll know that it's something from my past.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No, this has nothing to do with this lifetime at all. But it does, it was buried very deep in your consciousness. So
if this knowledge
does not clear it up, then I would suggest that you make an appointment. And together, we could take you to that other lifetime, and spirit would help to clear it up completely, so it would be completely eliminated from your consciousness. So just think about it, and if you are not able with this knowledge to end this cycle of discomfort and unpleasant events, then I would suggest that you do make an appointment, and we will do the multi-life therapy, and I would say 99 times out of 100, it just eliminates the reaction pattern completely.
Okay, Mary, I'll give you a thought, and let me see if I can help myself, or if I'll call in and make an appointment with you.
That's exactly. So, but remember, you are in charge here.
Yes. Yes,
okay.
I am in charge. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Candy. I'm so delighted that you called with that message. And now we had a text that was coming in. Let me see here. What is the change that happens, and how do you know that you're in the right place? That's an interesting question, but the only way you actually know if you are in the right place, when you go into another lifetime, first of all, we request of the, you can call it the higher consciousness if you like.
Mm-hmm.
I think of it as the whole self. It's the accumulation of wisdom and compassion from all of your lifetimes into this super consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that we be taken to another place, another time, another aspect of your whole self. Because when you leave this body, you will go back into this super consciousness, and you will add everything that you learned and everything that you experienced some people call it the oversoul. I mean, there are so many names for it, and I just think of it as the whole self. It's easier for me in that way. I don't have to worry about fancy names for it, you know. It's just there, yeah. And it's you, and it's you plus every you you've ever been. And so then you will be rejoining into the greatness and the purity of the and the compassion and understanding of everything you've ever learned in all your lifetimes. So when we ask of that, where you should go, which lifetime caused the problems, just like we figured out this, and believe me, Spirit was guiding me in this. I'm not all that smart that I could figure this out all by myself. But I tune in and I say my prayer and I offer myself mm-hmm. as an instrument of divine purpose. So when we do that, then we automatically will choose to go to that place that has been selected for us, that mm-hmm. where something happened that is interfering with our lifetime, our current life. And then you just float there, and when we find out where we are and what is going on, then there's a feeling. That, you know, when there's a knowing when you're right,
mm-hmm.
and there's
yeah.
a knowing when you're
I
in the wrong place. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So whoever, and for this person who wrote in, the way
yes.
we understand this, the way we know we're in the right place, is just knowing. It's not rational. It's not logical. It's not calculating the years and the times and the places. And it's just a knowing. It's a sentience. It's knowing with your whole soul and whole being that you're right. You're in the right place. At the right time. So then we find out what went wrong, and then Spirit will create another way to avoid that kind of thing, that terrible event. For example, if you'd been burnt at the stake, what happened with one young woman was she was told to get out of town, basically, to gather up all of her things and to go where she would be appreciated, because the people in this small village were beginning to accuse her of being a witch because she was working with herbs and she was actually healing people, and that scared them. Because
uh-huh.
they were ignorant, and so she got a ride with a carpenter who a cabinet maker actually, who made beautiful furniture and drove it into the city. And so she hid on his truck and rode into the city and established an herb shop and got very famous and lived to be like in her 80s, and trained her assistant to take over the shop when she left her body, and her whole life changed.
I see.
So,
I hope he grasped what he asked you. I'm understanding what you're saying.
Yes, I got a text that said thanks, so that's good.
Oh, good.
That so that makes total sense, and I'm very, very happy that I was able to explain that to this person who called in. So we're doing very well, and I'm happy that we've been able to answer the questions. So let me just continue on with the philosophical side of it. And thanks so much, Candy, for calling in. And
okay.
Then So the interesting part of this is that the only thing that is immortal with us, we're talking about the immortality of the human spirit, and you can substitute consciousness for spirit. If we imagine that we would be lifted to heaven with the body shape and the body and the mind and everything that we have now, that would seem to be kind of a waste for me, because we would be the same as we are now, and we wouldn't be transcending, and we wouldn't be able to continue growing and healing and learning and contributing to life in general. Because when I have had many, many spiritual development classes in which I went into trance, and the spirit would come in and speak to the class members. And in one class, I was told that Shriyakaya, who was a 12-foot-tall extraterrestrial, was in, and someone asked, but what was the difference between us and God? And he explained that we are all part of God, and that the things that we learn and the things that we do that increase the presence and the awareness of God. And so she said, well then what part of God are we? And he said, think of yourself as a corpuscle in the body of God. And every corpuscle is very important because it contributes to the health and the well-being of the body. So we are important to God. And that is something that we need really to remember. And as we live, as we reach out to each other, and as we expand in our lifetimes and in the work that we do, it contributes to everyone. And so it's important never, ever to think of yourself as not important to God and not important to other people, because every one of us, and we never know what we did or what worked or why we are, what we contributed added to the whole, until probably we leave this body and reconnect with the greater consciousness. So that is a very important thing that you can be aware of. And another thing that I'm ready to address right now is a question that came in about what about the mistakes we make and the wrongdoing and the negative kind of things that some of us do on this plane. And this is a very important thing that I feel is coming through right now, because we make mistakes. And it is important to make mistakes, because mistakes are a shortcut to learning. I once learned reading an article or whatever that the man who put IBM on the map used to run through the office and yell, "You're not making enough mistakes. That means you're not taking risks. That means that you're doing it the easy way, the safe way, and we'll never get ahead that way. You have to take risks. You have to make mistakes, because that's how we learn." So this man was extremely wise, and Stardust always says mistakes are a shortcut to learning. If you've ever been lost, you know exactly what I mean. If you get to that place again, that particular corner or that particular highway, you say, "Ah, I know exactly where we are because I got lost here once, and I know what to do to get out of here." And if you make a mistake and you just keep making that same mistake over and over and over again, you're wasting the opportunity to grow and to learn and to expand your consciousness. So don't be afraid of making mistakes. And probably the worst mistake you can possibly make is to hang back and refuse to do anything because you're scared of making a mistake. Because mistakes can always be fixed, and you can always learn from them. And if you don't make mistakes, if you just, all you have, you're stuck with everything that you then know, and that all the things that have been told to you. And just remember, how many times does a baby have to fall down and pick themselves up before they learn how to walk? And you might call those falling down, you might call them a mistake. Suppose a baby falls down, gets up, tries to walk again, falls down, and about the fifth or sixth time he falls down, he say to himself, "Well, I guess walking is just not for me. I'm not any good at it. I keep making a mistake. I keep falling down, so I'm going to quit trying to walk." I'll just translate that to other aspects of your life, and you can see exactly what I mean. So when you make a mistake, be sure to acknowledge it. Be sure to understand why you did it, how it happened, and how to prevent it in the future, and how to use that to learn to make your life better and easier and more positive. The more we do that, the more we accept our mistakes and learn from them, the more we grow and the more we develop. So it's that simple. So I hope that has answered your question. And we are not judged. Okay. We are not judged by the mistakes that we make. We are judged by how we use them to grow and how we accept them and accept ourselves as a person who at least tried. And just remember, the people who made the biggest mistakes of all are the ones who didn't try. So when it comes to judgment, we judge ourselves. And other humans judge us. But the judgment and the punishment does not come basically from God. God is interested in the greatest good for the greatest number and for the best outcome possible in any situation. So, I hope that makes sense. And I hope, yes, thank you. Texting is wonderful, isn't it? It's amazing to be in this century, in this lifetime and to have lived in so many different ways where there were so many inventions and so much progress and sometimes so little spirit growth. But we work to grow on a spiritual level, and when we do that, it doesn't matter what happens to us, just so we do grow spiritually and positively and stay happy, stay real. I mean, you cannot pretend to be something else unless you are doing it to save your life. For example, if you had been living in a communist country where you would be shot or you would be imprisoned or you would be beaten for your beliefs, it would be important to stay alive and to live, as they say, live to fight another day, and to have your beliefs reinforced in your prayers and in your connections with other people who needed your support. So yes, sometimes with human beings, especially with cruel, selfish human beings, we have to avoid exposing ourselves to their punishment, and it's important to be able to plan and get away into freedom. So when we do that, to pretend that we understand and accept what they're doing is certainly forgiven, because at this moment I am reading the autobiography of a gentleman who was just in that situation, and he had to keep his belief in God and his belief in freedom and his desperate plans and things to escape to America secret from the people that were his captors, shall we say. They were not exactly his captors, but they were in charge of the place that he was in, and he had to be very careful, and it was a great strain on him, no question about it. But he was able somehow to survive and to eventually escape to freedom. So when you do what you have to do simply to stay alive, that is perfectly understandable. Just as long as you are true to yourself. If there's a cruel dictator or a cruel boss or someone who has power over you, that you have to, shall we say, walk on eggshells when you're around them, that is perfectly understandable and unfortunately necessary. But the plans that you make to get away from it and the things that you learn is how to avoid the problems that are right in front of you. Those are something else again. So when you realize that in order to survive, in order to do anything, you do first have to survive. And what you do to survive may be very painful, but when you are free, then you will be able to reach out and help other people, and that is worthwhile. So as we begin to understand that we are living together in a world where our words and our actions may either help or harm other people, we begin to understand. You never know when one sentence that you say might be overheard by someone and it might change that person's life. You may not know that an apple that you give to someone who is homeless and starving might help them, might renew their faith in other people, and might change their lives. We do not know, ever, we do not know how our actions change people's lives. And yet, if we do this from a spiritual point of giving, this is very important. This will give you a sense, a reason to live. There are those who give up too easily, and that is a big mistake. Because each time we fight through and refuse to allow negative energy to get us down, we are winning. We are winning the game. We are definitely, definitely ready to step into the next phase of our spirituality. So I do hope that some of this has made sense. The main thing I'd like you to take from this session is, again, that there is only one time. It's now. There's only one place. It's here. Because here and now are the only time you can do anything. Do not wait until certain events have happened before you live, because they may never happen, and you will need to either do your job or not do it. And then the other thing, just remember, is it doesn't matter what happens. The thing that is important is how you respond to that happening, and if you let it change you for the negative, or if you insist that you will remain positive. And that, with that, I think I would like to do our closing meditation, or if you want to call that. Take a deep breath, close your eyes, and blow away everything that's been bothering you. Another deep breath, blow away all your pain. Another deep breath, and blow away all of your fears. Take one more deep breath. And blow away all the disappointments, all of the things that you wanted to happen that didn't. Just let it go. And now begin to float on the breath. Just float, deep breath, and just float. Float in. Float in. There you go. Let it go. Another deep breath and float again. And float in. Past the layers of consciousness. Float deep, deep inside. Deep inside the consciousness to that wonderful place where everything is safe. Everything is there for you. Everything that you need is given to you. All positive, wonderful freedom, wonderful healing, wonderful purity. And then just fill yourself up with all the wonderful feelings, all the beautiful, beautiful experiences that are possible and available to you. All the confidence, all of the resources and the energy there for you, filling you, recharging you and revitalizing you. And now, very, very gently, begin to float back toward what we call normal consciousness. Floating, floating, floating. And now, okay, feel your body. Feel the air around you expand and stretch. Wiggle your fingers and toes and open your eyes. And choose to have a wonderful day. Choose to live an important, special life, to do what is in your heart, in your spirit to do. And again, this is Mary Blake. You can reach me at spiritualdiscoveries@verizon.net. And my website, which is themaryblake.com, is under reconstruction, revision, and will be available very, very shortly. I look forward to hearing from you. Love and light.